The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting Mr. Boris Karloff in the third of a special series of anniversary Lights Out broadcasts. Tonight, at the urgent request of hundreds of listeners, we bring you a repeat broadcast of the strange play which you have chosen as the highlight of all the Lights Out series, Cat Wife.
Two masters of horror from the 1930s, Boris Karloff and Arch Obler. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie. Boris Karloff started out as a straight actor, and a very good one at that. Born William Henry Pratt in London in 1887, he studied at the University of London and emigrated to Canada in 1909, where he began acting with stage companies. A few years later, he went to Hollywood and started his film career. His parts in the silent era were often small, but when sound came to Hollywood, his was a particularly impressive and resonant voice. And among his more notable early roles were significant parts in The Criminal Code and Scarface. In 1931, Karloff's friend Bela Lugosi, star of Universal's film of Bram Stoker's novel Dracula, was offered the part of the monster in Frankenstein. But Lugosi and Universal could not settle their differences about the project, and the part was given instead to Karloff, who would be forever associated with the role. Karloff would go on to appear in other good dramatic and comedic roles, finally playing a character essentially based on himself in the 1968 suspense classic Targets, but it was for horror that he will always be remembered. Horror was also his main stock in trade in radio, and his most famous performance in that medium came in a role written by one of radio's greatest writers, Arch Obler. Perhaps the finest radio writer in Chicago in the 30s, Obler had a very simple approach to his craft. He once told an interviewer, "I write about human beings, not special effects." Indeed, one of his greatest achievements in radio was an adaptation of Dalton Trumbo's novel about the human effects of war, Johnny Got His Gun, with James Cagney in the lead role. And sometimes the special effects were grafted onto Obler's words without his knowledge, like the time in December of 1937, when a very special effect named Mae West played Eve to Don Ameche's Adam in an Obler script for the Chase and Sanborn Hour. West's unique innuendo caused such a fuss that the following week, NBC announcer Ronald Drake voiced the first apology for a broadcast ever issued by an American radio network, and NBC banned even the mere mention of West's name over its facilities for almost a decade. Obler, however, had another position with NBC. As producer, director, and host of the Blue Network's landmark horror series Lights Out. And it was in this capacity that Obler and Karloff became acquainted. Lights Out had started over NBC-owned station WENR in Chicago on New Year's Day of 1934, moving to the Blue Network 16 months later. Its creator, Willis Cooper, eventually left for Hollywood, coincidentally scripting the Boris Karloff vehicle Son of Frankenstein in 1939. When Cooper headed west, Obler took the series over and stayed with it until it finally left the network in 1946. One of the most famous productions on the series was Cat Wife, which was reproduced in the version that we're about to hear on the 5th of April, 1938.
Lights out, everybody.
Thank you. stop me from coming through. You can treat me mean, I guess, all right. Now get even with your
girls, cut it out.
From 105
till now. Oh, I love that song.
I love it. Cut it out, will you? Your husband will be tanned down here in a minute. Come on, Queenie, we better blow out of here.
Yeah, I guess she better
No, don't go. Don't go. I don't want to be alone.
What do you mean alone? Your husband's in the next room, ain't he?
Oh, that guy. What does he know about having fun? Work, work, work. It makes me sick where I've never been sick before. Oh, come on. Get sick around. Let's have some more fun. Oh, you can't stop me. Oh, Queenie has the most marvelous song I've ever
heard. Linda, for heaven's sake, Linda.
Well, speak of the devil. Hiya, Johnny boy. Come on in. The water's fine.
Only it ain't water, huh?
It ain't water.
Linda, for heaven's sake, I'm trying to work.
Oh, go away. Go away. You're spoiling my party. Throw him out of here, Kenny. He's only my husband.
Linda, take it in. Get out of here, you. Take that other one with you. Go on. Come on. Bail out. Come on.
No, wait. Don't listen to him. It's my house. It's my house.
You kick them out. My friends, you kick them out.
Linda, haven't you any consideration at all? I beg you, pleaded with you to try to keep these people out of the house while I'm getting some work done. And you persist in doing just the opposite.
You kick them out. My friends.
Yes, I kick them out and I'll do it again every time I find them here. They're no good. You've given me your word time and time again to give them up.
I'll call them back. I'll call them all back. You can't tell me what to do. Not me. They're my friends, mine. I'd give a dozen of you for one of them.
All right, Linda. If that's the way you feel, I guess you and I have finally come to the end of the road. You haven't got a grain of loyalty in you. All I ask is a little peace and quiet in my own home, and I can't even have that.
Go away.
Night after night, you and those people yowling and screaming like a pack of alley cats. And you the worst of all. I'm through, Linda. I'm through with you for good.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not.
Keep away from me. Keep away. Oh, Linda.
See? You're not through with me at all. You'll never be through with me. Never.
Oh, Linda. Linda.
No, let me go. Let me go! I don't want you, you fool. You're not through with me. I'm through with you.
No, Linda.
I'm tired of you. Do you hear me? I'm tired of you. I'm gonna get so far away from that smug face of yours that I couldn't see it with a telescope.
Linda, my wife!
Your wife. Why do you think I married you?
I thought you loved me.
I married you because I was sick of working in a two-bit barbershop, because I was sick of living in a hall bedroom wearing bargain sale dresses. I wanted dough, plenty of it, all I could get. And you were the best chance to get it that came my way.
No, Linda, you did love me. You must have loved me.
I loved you about as much as that canary out there loves its cage. I told myself I'd stay with you a year, divorce you, stick you for plenty of alimony, and then get out.
But we've been married 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Because you fooled me, that's why.
I fooled you?
Yes. Huh. You started to make a lot of money. More money than I ever thought you could make. So you're giving me the air, huh?
No, Linda, I love you. I'll always love you. I didn't mean what I said.
Well, I did.
Oh, Linda, don't leave me. You're no good. I know you're no good, but heaven help me, I love you. I'll never love anybody else.
Get out of my way.
No, I won't let you go. You've got to stay.
Take your hands off me.
You're no good. You've cost me my self-respect. But you'll stay with me. You'll stay with me. Or I'll cut you off without a cent. You won't get a dime from me. Not a dime. Stop that. Stop laughing.
Oh, you Sam. You fat-headed Sam.
Stop that.
You're going to cut me off without a cent, are you? Oh, you fool. I've got everything that belongs to you now. You hear me? Everything.
What are you talking about? What are you saying?
This house. It's in my name, isn't it? The car. It's in my name, isn't it?
I know, but... Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Oh, wouldn't I? Well, listen to this, my darling husband. I cleaned out the bank account yesterday.
No.
Every cent of it. I won't be in the street. You will. Now, this is my house. Get your things and get out of here.
I'll kill you.
No, stop
I'll
it.
Kill
Don't
you.
Don't you come near me. Let me go. Let me go. Ow! You touch me again, I'll tear your eyes out.
You cat.
Get out of my way.
That's what you are, a cat. A big, white, heartless cat. You think like one, you screech like one, you claw like one. You even look like one. A cat, that's what you are, a great white cat. I didn't marry a woman. I married a cat.
Keep it up. You're doing swell.
Laugh at me. Go on, laugh at me. But you're a cat. A sneaking, yowling cat.
Now, that's enough of that. You stop saying it.
A cat. You hear me? A cat.
Stop staring at me like that. Stop staring at me. John, what's happening to me? John, my head can hardly see. John, help me. John.
Linda.
What are you staring at?
Linda!
Oh, now, John, you've got to control yourself. Everything will be all right.
Oh, Doctor, what have I done? What have I done?
Now, John, please, pull yourself together. You're not entirely to blame for what's happened.
What will I do? I did it. I'm to blame.
Stop talking like that. Preposterous to say you're to blame. She was hysterical, John. And the suggestion that she was a cat caught her in an unguarded moment and resulted in a temporary neurosis.
Oh, Doctor, she's got to get well. She's got to.
Of course, she'll be all right. A little rest, quiet, and in a few days it'll all be forgotten.
Is she sleeping?
Yes. I gave her a sedative. She's resting very comfortably.
Can I go in and see her?
But I tell you, she's sleeping, John.
I know, but... Oh, I've got to see her. I've got to look at her. I've got to make sure she's all right. Don't you see? I've got to make sure.
Now, John, please. You've had a hard time of it. You'd better get to bed and get some rest.
Oh, no, Doctor, listen to me. I've got to see her again. I've got to make sure that she's all right. I can't rest until I know.
Well, I tell you... Very well. Just for a moment.
Yes.
Be very quiet.
Yes.
There. You see? She's resting very nicely.
Doctor, look.
What?
Her hands. Look at her hands.
They're claws.
And her teeth. Her teeth. Linda!
No, John. You'll waken her.
Linda! Listen to her.
Steady, John.
I can't stand it. I tell you, I can't stand it. She's Linda. She's my wife, my beautiful wife. Linda.
Sorry, John.
It's all right. I guess I'm going a little crazy myself.
What's happening to her? What is it?
I don't know, John. I don't know.
Listen to her. You've got to do something, Doctor. You've got to. You're my friend. You've got to help me.
What? In the name of all that's rational, what?
Well, think. There must be something you could do. A drug, something, anything.
No, John, I don't know what to say. I can't think. I'll call in someone else. That's it. I'll inform the authorities. They'll take care of everything.
No, wait.
What's the matter? What is it?
You're going to inform the authorities?
Yes, of course, John. Don't you see it's the simplest way out?
Way out?
Of course. for you and for me.
What do you mean?
John, this horrible thing that's happened to Linda, it goes beyond just you and me. It goes beyond the normal into the supernatural. Everyone should know about it. The world should know about it. Science.
You mean you're going to let everybody know what's happened to Linda?
Of course I am.
But you can't do that. She's my wife. Do you hear me? My wife.
No. Now, don't get excited again, John. Listen sensibly. We owe it to science.
Science? Who cares about science? She's Linda. She's my wife. And I cursed her to God and turned her into a yowling beast. It's my shame, mine. And you're not going to tell a living soul about it. No one, you hear me? No one.
It's my duty, John. I must inform the authorities.
No. Keep open that phone. Keep away, I say.
I'm sorry, John. Oh. John. My friend.
No. Try to sleep, darling. Try to sleep. Yes, I know, darling. But it's almost morning. You must rest. Sleep, Linda. Sleep, my beloved. All right, darling. I've got to be strong. I've got to help you. And I did help you. He was going to tell them about you. Everyone. They'd have taken you away from me, locked you up, pointed at you, laughed at you. But I stopped him, Linda. I stopped him for you. He called me friend. But you're my wife, my beloved, and I love you. I've pleased you, haven't I, my darling? I never could please you before, could I? And now I've pleased you. I killed him, Linda. I killed my friend to save you. And if anybody comes, I'll say he never came here. And no one will know, darling. No one but you and I. What is it, darling? What's the matter? Why are you getting up? What is it? Why go to the window? What do you want? If I could only understand you, if I could only know what you're trying to say to me. Oh, no. Oh, Linda, stop. I beg you, stop. Linda, beloved, stop.
Yes, I'm coming.
Good morning, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, it's you.
I found this note saying you wanted to talk to me. Gee, I hope you're not going to quit taking milk from me, Mr. Taylor. I know I've been kind of late with deliveries the last couple of days, but you see, it's my horse.
No, I'm not going to stop taking milk. That's what I want to see you about. I want milk, more milk, cream, everything.
Oh, sure. How much do you want?
Four bottles of milk. No, six.
Six?
Yes, and cream. Six bottles of cream.
Is something wrong, Mr. Taylor?
Wrong? Why do you think something's wrong?
Well, I only meant...
You meant what? Speak up. You meant what?
Well, now, don't get sore, Mr. Taylor. I just meant, well, you don't look so good. And, well, you know how it is. Sometimes a fella has a couple too many and he starts ordering all the milk in the world.
You fool. I'm not drunk. You want to sell me that milk, or do I have to get another milkman?
No, I'll get it for you.
Hurry.
Six quarts, six cream. Only him and his old lady. The guy's nuts.
Drink the milk, my beloved. Please.
But you haven't eaten anything. You're hungry. You must be hungry. Oh, my darling, what do you want? I'll get you anything, anything. Just eat. No, I can't let you out of the room. I can't. Someone might come to the door. They'd see through the windows. Oh, be patient, Linda, darling. I'll think of something. Drink the milk for your own good, Linda. Please. No, dearest. Don't do that. All right, dear. All right. I'll let you into the dining room. But you've got to stay away from the windows. If someone should see you. Here. Let me carry you. Okay. All right, darling. All right. I won't. Go yourself. You see, my darling, your pretty living room. Everything in it just the way you fixed it. Everything. Oh, Linda, this horrible thing that's happened to us. I tell myself it isn't real. I'll wake up soon and everything will be the way it used to be. You and I. Linda, where are you? Oh, Linda, don't! No, Linda! Linda! Don't touch that bird! Linda! Linda! Could you do it?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Taylor. Early again this morning, ain't you?
Good morning.
Ever since you sent your wife to the country, my first customer every morning for the last 3 days you've been. Like I was saying to my wife this morning, I said...
Yes, Mr. Heinrich, some other time. I'm in a hurry. My order, please.
Yeah, but you ain't give me no order yet. How about a nice steak, what you can broil?
No, nothing like that.
But to broil a steak? Ach, I tell you, that's nothing. When my wife, she goes to the country, that's what I always make for myself. You lay the steak in the pan, and then you light the gas.
I'm in a hurry, I tell you.
Yeah, all right. You don't have to get so high blood pressure, Mr. Taylor. If you will tell me what you want, by golly, I'll give it to you.
Well, I don't know exactly... Oh, a couple of pounds of liver. Yes, that's it. Fresh liver.
What? Again?
You heard me.
Sure, I heard you. But, by golly, for 3 days, ever since your wife, she went away, you eat nothing but liver.
Are you going to fill my order?
Yeah, sure. I will fill your order. There. Did you ever see such nice, fresh liver? Huh? Oh, 2 pounds? Jawohl. There we are. By golly, it could be you was raising cats or something.
Why do you say that?
Well, every day you buy liver. This morning I catched a couple of mouses in a trap. Maybe you like to take them along for the cat too, huh?
Don't say that! Don't say that!
Mr. Taylor, the liver, you forgot. By golly, that man is verrückt. Now, what did I say that was wrong? Cats like to eat mouses.
Oh, my Linda. My dearest Linda. Close to me. Oh, my darling. It's better this way. You can't leave me now. I'll have you with me always. I'll keep you here. Just you and I. I won't answer it. They'll go away.
All right. I'll answer it. No. Stay here, my beloved. They mustn't see you. Be very quiet.
Be very quiet. Yes, yes, I'm coming, I'm coming. Well, what is it? What is it?
Are you the owner of this building?
Yes, what do you want?
Kerrigan is the name. I'm your neighbor. I've got that place across the alley from you.
Neighbor?
Yeah, Kerrigan is my name. I'm with the department.
Department?
Yes. I'm desk sergeant at the 3rd District Station.
Policeman?
Yes. I'm off duty today, so I thought I'd drop over and speak to you. Do you mind if I step in for a moment?
Step in? Oh, no, no, not at all. Not at all.
Thank you. Well, you got a nice place here.
Yes, yes, nice. Very nice.
You know, the same contractor's made this place as made mine. You didn't know that, I'll bet.
No, I didn't.
Here, Irishman by the name of Gil Hooley. He put up all these bungalows along here on nothing but blarney and the shoestrings. Jumped out of the 10-story window, they tell me, the day after the stock market crash. Lucky for him. If he was alive now, some of the people around here had bought places from him would murder him. What was the trouble they're having?
Trouble?
Say, now, speaking of trouble, reminds me why I come over. If you don't mind, I'll tell you.
Yes?
No, it ain't me that's complaining, Mr. Taylor. I'm the kind of man that can sleep in a boiler factory. But it's me, Katie. Ah, there's a light sleeper for you. I always say that if a star in heaven twinkles too much, the noise wakes up me, Katie.
What? What is the trouble?
Well, you know how the women are. Always finding something to make a fuss about. Hey, I'm not disturbing her, am I?
Huh?
Yeah. You know, you're missing. She's not sleeping in the bedroom there, is she?
No, no, of course not. There's no one in there.
I thought maybe seeing the door is closed.
Oh, no, I tell you, there's no one in there. My wife, she's out of town.
Oh, well, that's fine, that's fine. I always like to talk things over man to man without the women around. The women are all right, I says, but they don't know how to straighten our little troubles with neighbors without calling names and pulling hair.
Oh, what is it? What's wrong? What do you want to tell me?
Well, to put it plain, it's the cat.
Cat?
Yeah, the cat. You just got it, didn't you?
You heard a cat?
Yeah. It started a few nights ago. Now, it ain't just a mean one, like I said, but me, Katie, well, you see our bedroom window faces right on the alley. And by golly, she hears every meow that animal makes.
You're wrong.
Eh?
I have no cat.
But me, Katie, heard. I heard it too, for that matter.
I have no cat.
But I'm telling you, it come right from this house.
I tell you, I have no cat. Isn't that sufficient?
Well, now, seeing as you put it so plain, I'll be speaking up plain myself. I'm telling you, I heard a cat yowling last night, and the night before, and the night before that. And as sure as me name's Thomas Kerrigan, it come right from this house. Now, what do you say to that?
Get out.
Now, wait a second, Nabucco. Wait a second. Don't get on your high horse.
Get out.
Well, now, see here. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just thinking maybe the animal's caught in your cellar without you knowing it. Now, if you let me go down
here... I tell you, there's no cat here. Get out. Get out of here.
Oh, it's like that, is it?
You heard me. Get out of my house.
Well, you sure are making a lot of noise about nothing, young fella. But it's your house. And if that's the kind of neighbor you want to be, I guess... What?
What are you standing there for? Get out! Get out!
Now, just a minute. Take it easy. No cat, eh? Well, what was that I just said?
Nothing at all! You've got no right
to... Mister, you may not be a liar, but you sure are something close to it. If that ain't a cat in that bedroom there, then I ain't never heard one.
Get out! Get out of here!
Oh, no, I won't. Listen to that cat. If that ain't creating a public nuisance, I'd like to know what it is.
It's none of your business. This is my house. Get out of here.
Now, stop pulling at me, me bucko. I may be off duty, but I'm still an officer of the law. And I'm telling you, that cat you got in there is violating the city ordinance. Now, if you don't make it shut up disturbing me, Katie, I will.
No, no. Stay away from that door. Stay away from that door.
Hey. Listen to it. That ain't no cat you got in there.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes, I lied. It is a cat. Just a cat. But I'll make it be quiet, but go away. Go away.
Wait a minute. Take it easy. If it's just a cat, what do you get this excited?
No, no, I'm not.
Look at you. Your eyes are blazing. What's going on here? I think I'll have a look.
No, stay away.
Ah!
no! No! Get away! Take it away!
I told you! I told you to go!
Big one! If I only had big one!
You'll never use it! Never!
Keep away from it! Help! Help!
I asked you to go, didn't I? I asked you to, didn't I, Linda? You heard me. You heard me asking. Linda. Linda, what's the matter? What are you going to do? Linda, keep away from him. What are you going to do?
No, no, Linda. Get away from him. Linda, Linda. Stop. Stop. Oh, my eyes. My eyes. My eyes.
My eyes, my eyes. Oh, I can't see. That garden, if I could only find it. Blood. Blood in my eyes. I'm blind. Oh, God, have pity on me. Help me to find it. It must be here. I dropped it somewhere. You're back now, pressing against me. Oh, God, let me find that gun. I dropped it here somewhere. Let me find it. Got it. Got it. Yes, yes, press close to me. I can't see you. Press close to me. I mustn't miss. There. Scratch, claw, what does it matter? You cursed animal. You've taken everything from me. My eyes, my life. Now I'll take... Linda! I heard, my beloved, I heard you. I'm coming with you.
Wait for me, Linda, my beloved. Wait.
Lights Out, with Boris Karloff, and written especially for radio by Arch Obler, comes to you each Wednesday from our Chicago studios.
Boris Karloff in Arch Obler's Catwife on Lights Out, heard over the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company, in this instance on the 5th of April, 1938. Karloff, like his later friends and collaborators Vincent Price and Peter Lorre, loved to poke fun at his public image, as we'll hear in this installment of The Fred Allen Show, originally broadcast over NBC in November 1945.
It isn't Jessica Dragonette, kiddies. The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest Boris Karloff, Fortune Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And in case you've looked and couldn't find me in Who's Who, my name is Kenny Delmar. And speaking of grapes, tonight we bring you a guy who's one of the bunch, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, what was that introduction you just consummated there? Speaking of grapes, tonight we bring you a guy who's one of the bunch.
I'm sorry, Fred.
What happened, Kenny?
My writer, who thinks up those jokes I used when I introduced you, is sick tonight.
Oh, he's sick, is he?
I didn't have any joke to bring you on.
Well, where did you get that grape joke?
Man in a fruit store gave it to me.
Man in a fruit store. Look, Kenny, the next time you need a joke, don't go into a fruit store. Go into a butcher shop. Get something with some meat in it if you're going to... You know, those grape jokes and parrot gags are all right on the Jack Benny program. You know, I heard today that the Lone Ranger wants to follow Benny's program on Sunday night.
The Lone Ranger?
Huh? The Lone Ranger figures his horse can live on the corn it can pick up after Benny's program. Did you, perchance, did your luck run out, and did you hear Mr. B's effort tonight, did you, by any chance?
Oh,
brother, with a small B.
Well, was Joe Louis on with Jack again this week?
Yes, Kenny. With those jokes Benny gave Joe, it was the first time Joe Louis has ever put anyone to sleep without hitting him. He did it 2 Sundays in a row. I think Louis was in here earlier in the evening. I think, though, Kenny, that... Well, Portland, gee whiz. It's time we took a gander at our friends in Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, the Clothing Manufacturers Association recently announced that due to the acute shortage of materials, it will be impossible to produce enough suits to supply men this coming year. And so our question tonight is this impending clothing shortage going to affect you?
Shall we go?
As the two Morse code operators said after they had made some dots, let's make a dash. Say, it's mighty quiet down here in Allen's Alley tonight, Portland. I wonder what the senator is up to. Let's see.
Somebody, Hussey, somebody knock.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
Everyone.
I come from Dixie. I'm loyal to the South.
You keep telling me this.
I never go to a movie unless Ann Southern is in it. On the radio, I never listen to Mr. and Mrs. Knoll. Speak up, son. Out with it.
Well, I'm trying to say...
You don't say nothing. You just stand there gawking. Gawking, that
well,
is.
Well, I'm doing the best I can. Now, look, Senator, can I cut in just for a second? How does Washington feel about this clothing shortage?
It's terrible. I've been wearing the same suit since I was elected 5 years ago.
One suit for 5 years? Isn't it worn out?
My suit's so worn out, it might cost me my job.
Your job? How do you mean, Senator?
If my trousers get any thinner...
Yes?
I'm liable to lose my seat in the Senate. So long. So long, that is.
So long, Senator. Make a note of it. Well, Congress may soon see the end of the senator from indications. Well, I wonder if old Titus Moody is here.
Howdy, Bob.
Ah, Mr. Moody. Say, you look a little beaten tonight.
Yeah, my temper's about to slip its moorings, Bob.
Temper going out to sea. Has something go wrong on the farm?
Had a dust storm. Dust kept blowing for 5 days.
5 days, eh?
My chickens must have swallowed a bushel of dust.
A bushel of dust? Well, what happened?
My hens are all laying powdered eggs.
I see.
Dirty powdered eggs.
Well, naturally, with the dust in the...
Yeah, the eggs have got pebbles for yolks.
Well, now... Tell me, Mr. Moody, has the shortage of men's clothing bothered you?
Oh, things got so bad, I had to take the old suit off my scarecrow.
Say, that's good.
Not so good, Bub.
Well, why?
My wife left home.
Because you're dressed in that scarecrow's outfit?
Yeah, as long as I'm wearing this suit...
Yes?
The old crow won't come near me. So long, Bub. So long.
Well, if Mr. Moody ever wants a drink, he'll probably have to stop at a crowbar. Well, I... That's the last joke I'll ever buy from a nusher. Let's move on. I'm through the halls writing all week long when it comes to this. Well, let's move along to this next door.
No?
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Lena Turner.
Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, has the men's clothing shortage upset your household?
My husband, Pierre, is frantic.
Frantic?
There is such a word?
Yes, frantic. Frantic is a word.
I thought maybe I was making it up.
No, no.
No, when I'm least expecting doing it sometimes. I'm coning an expression.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, tell me, has your husband tried to buy any new clothes recently?
He is going to Horowitz's Herringbone Heaven.
Horowitz's Herringbone Heaven, Anne?
Horowitz is having only one herringbone left, which Horowitz personally is wearing.
Well, that's right. What did Pierre do?
First, he is wearing his Mickey Mouse sweatshirt with Boy Scout pants.
Oh, that's some combination. Mickey Mouse sweatshirt and Boy Scout pants. Pierre must have looked snappy.
He is looking snappy until the Boy Scout is taking back the pants.
Oh, I see. You had to make Pierre another pair in a hurry, huh?
It is an emergency.
Good.
I'm using the Sunday newspaper, the comic section.
Oh, you made Pierre a pair of pants out of the funny papers?
Yes. Down the left leg is Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah?
The right leg is Teddy and the Pirate.
And in the back?
Is Dick Tracy.
Ah, Dick Tracy.
If you think Itchy was in a spot before...
Yeah?
You should see him now.
Well, here we are at the last house in Allen's Alley. I'll see what's going on in here.
Oh, it's you again.
Well, only one McGee tonight. Where's your partner?
He's singing at a smoker.
Oh, really?
The faithful followers of Carmen Lombardo.
Those two guys meeting again this year, are they? Well, tonight, I was going to ask you fellas about the men's clothing shortage.
I got a song about men's clothes.
Oh, great.
Here's a copy. You can sing it with me.
Oh, I can sing with you? Okay, let's go.
Hit it, Sam.
Oh, my shiny old shabby blue suit. Full of holes, but I don't give a hoot. You can look through and see my appendectomy. The tattoo on my chest and the mole on my knee. And when winter winds start blowing through, you'll see all my goose pimples in view. Through life I will glide. I'll have nothing to hide in my shiny old shabby blue suit with two pairs of pants.
Thank you. After the headache harmony of McGee and Allen, we offer some musical aspirin, five tiny tablets, the DeMarco sisters. Accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his family philharmonic, the DeMarco sing Hop, Skip, and Jump, girl.
Hop, skip, and jump in my direction. I need affection. Honey, hurry, hurry to me. Hop, skip, and jump. Stop hesitating. My arms are waiting. Won't you hurry, hurry to me? It's been a long time, no love. Underneath the apple tree. Missing you, feeling blue. Baby, won't you make it 1, 2, 3, hop. Skip and jump. Hop on a fire. My heart's on fire. Honey, hurry, hurry to me. Hop, skip and jump. Jump, jump. In my direction. Baby, I need affection. Hurry, hurry, hurry to me. Hop, skip and jump. Jump, jump. Stop hesitating. Baby, my arms are waiting. Won't you hurry, hurry to me? It's been a long time, no love.
Underneath the apple tree.
Missing you, feeling blue. Baby, won't you make it 1, 2, 3? Hop, skip and jump, jump. Hop on a flyer.
Goodman has just completed another of his miniature concertos. He clept, I'm going to love that guy like he's never been loved before. Mr. Goodman plays just enough each week to stay in the Musicians Union. He takes all his old weights and makes up little pauses for station identification. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Would you mind taking over for the rest of the program? I'm all in. I've got to lie down for a little while.
Lie down?
I haven't slept a wink all week. I am as tired as a violin player's middle finger after 16 bars of pizzicato. You know, I had to get out of my apartment this week.
Well, haven't you tried to find a new apartment?
Oh, tried. Portland, what I have been through. Yesterday, Kenny Delmar gave me the address of a rental agency over on 6th Avenue. Well, sir, I started out early in the morning. Ah, this must be the agency. Uh-huh. There's the sign on the door. Hotchkiss, Hotchkiss, and Badoo. Rentals, Notary Public, insurance, chicken dinners to take out, and New York representatives of Boris Boraminovich. Open all night, walk in. Well, at least I'll come out of here with something.
Yes?
Mr. Hotchkiss, my name is Alan.
I'm a busy man. Don't bother me. What do you want?
Well,
don't tell me. I'll get involved. I'm a busy man.
Well, I'd like to get an apartment.
An apartment? I'm living under this desk here myself. Go find your own desk. Beat it, I'm a busy man.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're a rental agent. You've got to find me a place to live.
Well, something came in last night.
A room? Where?
In the Statue of Liberty. They found a cavity in one of her teeth. It was a molar. Two people can live in it.
I'll take it.
Too late. The cavity was filled this morning.
Now, look. Now, look, Mr. Hotchkiss. You're looking at a desperate man. A desperate man, that is. I'll take anything, a hook in someone's closet if
hey,
I can...
Hey, wait, there's a guy came in a minute ago. He wants to rent his house. Hey, Bud, I got a prospect for you. Alan, meet Boris Karloff.
Boris Karloff.
Thank you. I beg your pardon. Have we met before?
Mr. Karloff, don't you remember me? Take a good look at my face.
You look like something that fell out of a closet in my last picture.
Mr. Karloff, I'm Fred Allen. I met you in Hollywood.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You were out there making a horror picture.
Well, I didn't go out to Hollywood to make a horror picture. My picture just happened to turn out that way. And I may say in rebuttal, Mr. Karloff, seeing you in person is sort of a letdown.
How do you mean, Fred?
Well, you look human. Now, I expected to see a man who was part monster with a long, ratty tail.
Suit serves to cover it nicely, doesn't it?
Yes, I noticed your tailor left enough room in back there in case you get happy and start wagging. But tell me, Boris, what brings you to New York? Are you going into that show, Follow the Ghouls? Or I Remember Mummy?
Oh, no, Fred. I'm just here sightseeing.
Oh, sightseeing, huh? Mm-hmm. Sightseeing to you, I guess mornings you just lift up a manhole cover and take a long stroll through a sewer, meeting old acquaintances. Afternoons you browse around the morgue. And nights I imagine you whoop it up around some cemetery.
Why, Fred, how you do go on.
Well, how do you spend your day?
Mornings, I scamper through Central Park, uphill and down Dale with my butterfly net.
Oh, really?
Afternoons, I go to Macy's Toy Department and spend an hour or two perched on Santa Claus' knee.
You do?
Nights, I run around Stratt, blowing through straws that are left in soda glass.
And then?
Dog tired, lark happy, and smelling of phosphate. I'm home safely tucked in bed by 8 o'clock.
Well, that makes a full day smelling of phosphate, Boris. But let's get down to business. I have no place to sleep these nights. The rental agent says...
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going back to Hollywood and I'd like to rent my house.
Rent your house. Good. When can I see it?
Why don't you drop in tonight?
What's the address?
237 92nd Street.
Yes. The house on 92nd Street. Well, Portland, that night I started for Boris Karloff's house. It was pitch dark. The wind was blowing. A storm was coming up. I finally found it, the house on 92nd Street. It was a creepy-looking joint. I walked up the rickety steps. I rang the doorbell. The door opened slowly. I heard an old woman say,
"Come in!"
Mr. Karloff is expecting me.
I'll tell him you're here.
She sounds like the wife of the smiling Irishman. Gosh, it's gloomy in here. What's this? Gad, a human head rolling down the hall.
What's up, chum?
Who's that? Who's talking? Who are you, Head?
I used to be Karloff's girlfriend.
What became of your body?
I had a corn on one foot. Yes. Karloff told me he was chiropodist.
Yes?
He started cutting off my corn. I fell asleep. I could feel Karloff cutting.
Yes?
When I woke up, my corn was gone, Karloff was gone, I was gone.
You were gone?
All but my head.
Gad, Karloff must be mad.
Karloff's mad? How do you think I feel?
I can imagine.
Well, I gotta go, chum. Stop me rolling, will you?
In what direction?
Which way is... Can you top this?
Oh, you're going to see the repeat show, are you? Well, I'll give you a head start. Here we go.
Thanks, chum.
Okay, Head. Gad, this place is spooky. I'm getting out of here. Where does this door go? A closet. Wow, it's dark and musty.
Hello, Fred.
Yes! Oh, it's you, Boris Karloff. What are you doing in this closet?
I was just hanging up an old suit.
Boris, I think you left a man in the suit.
I never hang a suit up empty. It wrinkles.
Now look, Boris.
Follow me, Fred. I'll show you the house.
No, never mind, never mind. I can get a room at the Z.
The Z?
The Z is a little place in back of the Y. Neutron gauge. I think I understand.
Oh, you do, do you?
Karloff!
Alan, I saw you open the door to my basement.
But I only...
I warned you, I told you the man who looked in there would never live to tell what he saw.
Karloff! Put down that knife!
Alan, your time has come.
You're insane, Karloff! I know your mad plan.
What plan?
Those two scientists in the basement with those jokes.
You know?
Yes. They're jamming millions of old radio jokes into that huge condenser. The uranium cyclotron will reduce those old jokes down to one concentrated gag. It will be the most powerful bad gag the world has ever known. That gag will be...
No!
The atomic joke! If that joke is ever spoken into a microphone, Karloff, it will blow up all of radio.
Yes, my atomic joke will destroy radio and benefit humanity.
You are crazy, Karloff. Your atomic joke will never succeed.
The atom can destroy everything.
Everything but radio. If radio can survive 15 years of Jack Benny, nothing can ever hurt it.
From November 1945, Fred Allen hosting Boris Karloff. That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2005. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll join us again at the same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.